We can get those turned back in. Can't even read my own writing, I'm sorry. So Monday night's class. You guys are ready to start. Monday night's class, week tier, 6. Okay, John's not going to be there, but we have a opportunity to watch a video and then a discussion afterward. So we're still going to meet. And so if you guys are ready to think about coming, come on up. All right. Any other announcements before we do worship service?
Yes, come on. We're going to start decorating the church tomorrow for BPS, so anybody that wants to come help, we've got big plans for up here. We're going to meet at 9:30 and maybe go till noon tomorrow, and then again Tuesday if we need it, 9:30 to noon. So if you can only spare an hour, feel free to stop in and
songs, and there's the psalms, and throughout the scriptures of singing and making melody, and Lord, we just want to be a part of the worship that goes on throughout the world towards you, Lord. And again, we pray for Marianne, we pray for her family, Lord, that we just pray that you would deliver them, and we just pray for your mighty protection, and that you would be so powerful in this kid's lives. So Lord, we trust you, and we just pray, Lord, that you give her comfort in this time. In Jesus' name, all God's people said.
Amen.
Well, we're going to start a little bit slower, and then as we go on, it's going to get a little bit faster. So we're going to need you to be loud and boisterous and clapping if you can. Whatever. It'd be nice if you did. Any volunteers to help us clap out there?
Yeah.
All right, come on, all right. I don't want you to clap now. It's okay? Starting slow, okay? Now we're going to build it up a little bit. All right. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Huge binder full of photos and
and names and old pastors that we had, and so yeah, reading through it, one thing that I came across, it was this church was birthed in the early 70s, and as I was reading, just give you a little history. So there's been four great revivals in America where people have just, huge masses of people have come to Christ. And the first one was right before the Revolutionary War. And the second one was in the early 1800s. And that's the one that planted the seeds for the Christians protested against slavery. And so they're the ones who actually brought the protests out and got the word and then revival came out of that. And then the third one was in the around the mid-1800s. That's where we get C.H. Spurgeon and D.L. Moody. And then there was a fourth one that happened in the early 70s, and that was the Billy Graham movement. It's called the Jesus Revolution. And that's where we get a lot of the bands, you know, that great Christian music in the early 70s. And, well, it was some people from there that worked with the church at a twist that helped plant this church. So the arms of that Jesus Revolution stretched all the way out to this church and helped plant it. And so we're part of this church is part of a revival that happened way back in the early 70s. And so from the Billy Graham movement, and I have a quote from Billy Graham, and he says, "I've read the last page of the Bible. It's all going to turn out all around me." And this song was a popular song during that movement. And the title of the song originated in a phrase that non-believers used to describe the early Christians, saying, "Behold how they love one another." And that's one way that the Christians were known, was by their love for one another. So they'll know that we're Christians by our love. Amen. These songs might seem new, but
we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that all unity may one day be restored. Christians by our love, by our love, there's a love, we are Christians.
Got something. And it goes into our next song, Hero Israel. And this song actually, some of these songs have to do with our Monday study we've been doing. We've been studying a lot on Israel and why Israel matters, why they're important, why they're a time clock for the end of all things that's to come. But out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, all your might. And these words which I command this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk to them when they sit down in the house, and when they walk about on the way, and when they lie down, and when they rise up. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I guess here's where the clapping starts. Elaine, we've done this song a long time ago, so I remember this one. So. anybody know where the name Jehovah Jireh, where it actually came from? It's one of the names of God in the Bible. What's that?
My provider.
My provider. Anybody know like what the story is behind it? Sorry, I had to look it up myself. So, when Abraham brought Isaac, right, and God says, "Take your son up and give your son as an offering to me on Mount Moriah," he brought him up, thinking that he was going to slay his own son and his only son. And when he got up there, and then we're talking, this is like 4,000 years ago. And so when he brings him up to Mount Moriah, and he's gonna slay his own son, God says, you know, don't touch him. And God provides a lamb. He provides a in the thickets, making as a picture thousands of years ago that God himself was going to give his only son. And none of us would ever have to do anything like that, but God himself did that for us. Amen?
Amen.
And so anyway, so that name, Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And the Lord provides our needs. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of our needs he'll provide. We just need to go to him. So anyway, this song is called Jehovah Jireh. Another happy song. We're going to start off slow and pick up a little bit.
Children's Church is dismissed, and we're going to invite Villa to speak. If you have not heard Bill speak before, you're in for a treat. We want to put pressure on you. With the Lord, he bless you, and everything that comes, we know it's from the Lord. So, come on up, Bill, and then.
Okay. I have a lot of good notes here. I don't know what they are. But... first of all, I've said this many times. I'll probably say it many times again if I ever get up here again. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. And I'm not an elder. I'm just somebody who likes to talk about the good things that God has done. That I have seen, and Maureen has seen. We've seen a lot of wonderful things. We've seen a lot of wonderful things since we've been here in Tenasca. I got a slide up there.
Yeah.
Okay, we got two of them. Mark 16:15. And he said that I'm going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's part of what I'm going to talk about. There's another one. And it talks about letting our light shine. And that's my main message today, is how we let our light shine. And so anyway, I'm going to start... 42 years ago, I was a different person, a way different person than I am today. I remember that alcohol had more control over me than I had over it. I didn't drink every day, but when I did drink, I didn't stop until the booze was gone or the party was over. There might be weeks before I did it again, but it was the same scenario over and over. And then my family, I had a house that I just built. Daylight basement, two beautiful stories above that. Big vaulted ceilings, house to die for on 10 wooded acres in Oregon. Out in Colton, Oregon. I found myself all alone in that house because my wife and my two beautiful daughters had decided that it was time to move on because things weren't good in our marriage. My daughters chose to go with their mother, and here I'm sitting in this big, beautiful house. There was a song by Don Williams at that time that was going around. Maybe some of you remember. He said, Lord, let this day be good. Every time that song would come on, I would be near tears saying, God, let this day be good, and I didn't really have a clue who God was at that point. I remember one day I saw him come on, and I ran and I jumped on our big old waterbed. Remember waterbeds? I jumped on that face down and I'm weeping. God, please let this day be good. So it's a pretty miserable time in my life. My life was in order. I had a great job. I was doing my job every day. I would get awards for the work I was doing, so there was no problem in that. It was my family life, because I didn't have Christ in my life. I didn't put Christ in my family. And I would pay the price for that. I remember this one day I was sitting in our living room. There was about a 24-foot high ceiling. There was carpet in the one area, and then over by the wall there was hardwood floor going down toward the bedrooms. And I was sitting on the carpet with a half a case of cans of beer, and I would pop the lid and I would drink a can of beer, and I would just flip it over my shoulder and hit the wall, bounce down on the hardwood and roll down into a corner where there was several others. And I was just drinking my sorrows away that day. I wasn't drunk, but I was getting close. And I remember a event like this for a few months with an empty house. And there was a TV remote laying on the table nearby. I hadn't had a TV on in months. For some reason, I reached over and I grabbed that TV remote. And I had no lights on in the house. And it was dusk in Oregon with all these trees. It was pretty dark in the house. And that TV, boom, come on with a lot of light. And lo and behold, there's Billy Graham. He's pointing out. And he's saying, and I can't quote exactly, but he's telling me that you out there, you need to Jesus in your life. The reason that you're in the condition you're in is because you have not let Christ into your life. I listened to what he had to say. I prayed with him the prayer that he led everyone in. And I want to tell you, my life changed. My life changed. I didn't feel it so much that day, but the next morning I got up and everything seemed different. I saw some color out there that I hadn't seen in years. I'm literally color. I was seeing a lot of black and white and grayscale. I wasn't seeing much color out there. But that day I began seeing everything change. All these years later, 42 years, by the way, I was 40 then. You can do the math. Two things I see all these years later, primarily, there's a lot of things, but two things I see. And I had some help with Youth with a Mission, YWAM training years ago to help me see these things. I did. Glad you're here. Two things. Number one is we got to go. Like it says up there, we got to go. If we had that experience, I had with Billy Graham, we got to go. It's not an option. This is a command. We got to go. I don't care if you go to your neighbor or you go to somebody. Go to somebody. That is our main reason for living once we're born again Christians. We have to go. We have to tell somebody the reason for our hope, right? Number two, when we go and live our daily lives, we have to demonstrate. We have to demonstrate something. That what we demonstrate is the second verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your God, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine. That means every day we get up, we put aside our petty little, I don't feel good today. No, I don't. And I get those days. I get those days when I'm down. Maureen has to kind of lift me up a little bit. And she gets those days, and I've got to lift her up a little bit. But still, we have that purpose of letting our eyes shine. I have to let my light shine for Maureen. And she's got to let her shine for me. Then we got to let it shine for those people who come into our lives that day. We got to let it shine for those people we encountered that day. Those two things are not options. We just got to do it. And then I see three things in my simple little mind. Three things. I don't like numbers bigger than three, by the way. It's just complicated. But there's three things I see that it takes to carry out that demonstration part, right? You got to demonstrate, but it takes something to do that. Number one is faith. We have to have faith, don't we? We talk about that. We sing about it. We read about it all through the Word of God. By the way, if you're a Christian, you should be reading your Bible every day. That's also a requirement for a Christian. That's how we stay in contact with the Word of God. That's how we know how to keep this relationship between us and God going. Reading His Word, it's a must. So we have to have faith, and we have to have obedience, and we have to have perseverance. Faith, I love this verse. Maureen, I love this verse. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we're believing for things that we don't even see. We're walking our lives in a way that we have hope for something. We don't see it, but we believe that we're going to have it, right? Whether it is grace or whether it is assistance in whatever we need to do for the Lord, or whether it's our hope that's coming, our Jesus that's coming, that's going to take us to heaven, and he's going to give us that eternal life that we have been promised in the Word of God. Thank you. And Faith, I've got a great little story. By the way, I love to tell stories. If you've seen me speak before, you know that. Marina and I lived in Israel when we first got married. It's a long story of how I got to Israel, and I'll talk about that some other time. Maybe I did last time, I can't remember. But we were living in a little apartment. She had an apartment, beautiful little apartment, well decorated, as you can imagine. And we got married in Bethlehem, in the First Baptist Church of Bethlehem. That's kind of nice.
That's awesome.
And then we moved in, I moved into her apartment with her. Well, we were there maybe 3 days, I'm not sure. The phone rang one day. And I think it was the first time I picked up a phone in her apartment. You know, I just hadn't done that. I mean, this is cool, I picked it up. Hello? And on the other end, it said, "Hi, this is Vivian, your landlady. Time for the rent. I'd like to come at 1 o'clock and pick it up." And I said, "Okay, come on over. Bye." And I turned around to Maria and I said, "We got to pray." Because it was $700 rent she was coming for at 1 o'clock. We didn't have it. Right? So what do? You pray and you believe. And I got to say, I was a little nervous, and she was a little nervous. We'd both been living by faith for a long time. It was not uncommon for us to need money, need assistance, and God always provided. But this particular day, someone was coming at 1 o'clock to get it. So I was a little nervous. About 12:30, the phone rang, and it was Vivian, and she said, "I can't come today. I'll come tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Does that work?" I said, "Yes." So anyway, we got a little reprieve. We felt the relief. Next morning, we walked down to the big post office where most of the missionaries and the Christian workers in Israel would go every day to see if there was a check in the mail. There was a check in the mail for enough money to cover the $700 rent. And Vivian came at 2 o'clock. They gave it to her. God is awesome. But we got to have the faith. We got to have the faith that says, "Yeah, come at 1 o'clock and get it when you don't have it." Another story, we were in Cyprus a few years later. We'd been there for a while. It was one of those weeks where we didn't have any money. I had a little annuity, and it would come, and it would go into my bank account in America. So we had some, I don't want to leave you thinking we had no money. We had a little money coming in, but it was small. Well, we were at the end of that money, and we needed money. We were in a very nice house God had given us. We were 1 mile from a village called Lanya. You could walk a mile up through the vineyards on a vineyard road and get to this little village. Have you got me? How's that? Is that better? Okay. So anyway, we were down to nothing. We lived 15 miles from Limassol. It took Cypriot pounds to get on a bus and go to Limassol. We didn't have Cypriot pounds. We didn't know anybody in the world that would give us Cypriot pounds. So we needed Cypriot pounds. So anyway, I'm going to walk up through the village. We didn't have a car, by the way. We had to take the bus. But I'm going to walk up to the village, through the village to the post office. And all the way up there, I'm thinking, "God, we just need some provision today. I'm praying. We need something in the mail today." So, and I said, "Lord, it can't be American dollars. It can't be a check. It's got to be Cypriot pounds, cash." And I'm thinking, there's no way. It's not going to happen. So I go up there, and there's one envelope in our box, and it was from Jerusalem in Israel. I take it home, I go home, and I go down. We open it together. 10 separate pounds fell out. And I thought, that's a miracle, right? Then I looked at the post date on it. It had been mailed 9 weeks prior to that. And it took 9 weeks for it to come 100 miles from Israel this time. I don't know where it was in those 9 weeks, but God was holding it. So I prayed. So then I prayed. God was demonstrating to us his faithfulness. We had the money we needed to get on a bus and go to Russell. So faith is that number one thing that's required if we're going to let our light shine. The other thing is, one of the other things is obedience. I want to read to you, by the way, I've got the scripture out of here, my New King James Version. I typed it here. And this is the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30, verses 9 and 10 says, "The Lord your God will make you abound in all your work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers." The next line says, "If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Big two words in the middle of that. If you obey. That's three words. Yeah. If you obey. Obedience is everything to a Christian. We cannot walk in disobedience to our Lord and expect his blessings to flow upon us freely. And he can do that. We can be walking in disobedience. He can still bless us if we want to. Jesus, God, he's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. But the best position to be in to receive blessings from the Lord is obedience, a place of obedience. There's lots of promises of God. There's books written about the promises of God. And I'm sure many of you have a book of promises, right? Many of those books don't have the last part of that promise, which says, if you obey. They list the promises. Most of those are contingent if you obey, if you obey, if you obey. I found about 20 instances in a short search where the promise says, if you obey. I was in, like I said, we were married in Bethlehem. I was in Israel for 9 months. I bought a 6-month ticket, went to Israel. Had no idea that God had intended for Maureen and I to married. We've known each other for a dozen years. Prior to that, never met face to face. We met face to face. We were spending time together. I would meet at her at her place at 8 o'clock in the morning. We'd spend most of the day on the streets of Jerusalem where she lived. Lots of Christians in Jerusalem. Some of them really weird. They have a thing they call Jerusalem Syndrome. That's what the Israelis call Christians who come to Jerusalem with them. Some of them are wearing sackcloth on the street and they're pretending they're somebody from the Bible. There's a lot of weirdness. Anyway, but there's also a lot of talk amongst Christians. You know how Christianese goes? Oh, what's your calling? My calling is Peter. I went to a class on calling, and we determined through 5 days of studies I'm called to this. A lot of talk about calling. There's a lot of talk about that in the church. And it's good to know what your calling is. But sometimes we can put more emphasis on the word calling than we do what he's called us to. I remember one night I was having night times where I was reading. After I'd leave Marina, I'd read my Bible. Our prayer time with the Lord. And I asked the Lord one night, I said, "Lord, everybody's called to something. What am I called to? I don't feel any special calling. What am I called to?" Immediately I heard, "You're called to obedience." I said, "Thank you." because that's what I wanted. That was my heart desire, was to be obedient to the Lord. That's what I wanted. Sometimes our little assignments, the little assignments we get in the ear, that small still voice gives us an assignment. Not an easy one, is it? My previous wife, who's died, gone to be with Jesus, and I were in Assembly of God Church in Hamilton, Montana. First time we ever been in there was a Wednesday night. God had directed us to Hamilton for a time. And we were in there, an associate pastor, sizable group of people, about like this maybe. The associate pastor was up there, and he was kind of greeting people, and he was getting ready to talk, and he was going to give his little Wednesday night spiel. And he said something he thought was really funny. And then he said, "Not like those Baptists, right?" And everybody roared. And when he did that, my heart, "What's he doing? What's he doing?" I couldn't stand what he said. Not because I was a Baptist. I've been in a lot of Assembly of God churches. I've been in all kinds of churches. I've been in Baptist churches. I've been in Israeli congregations. This man standing up there making fun of the Baptist. And the Lord told me, speak to him. Tell him that's not right. And so I said, "Well, I can't do it now." He said, "Wait." I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll wait. Here's the deal, Lord. When he's done preaching, you have him come down here and come to me. And if he does that, I'll tell him." Right? Because I'm a chicken. It was too hard. I didn't want to do this. I didn't know this pastor. I didn't know any of these people. So he gets down. What's he doing? Walks off the thing, comes down here, comes down the aisle, five rows, didn't want him that, stuck his hand down. I was just trembling. And then he goes toward the back of the church. He's going to greet some others. And I'm sitting there ashamed of myself because the Lord brought him to me, but I didn't have the guts to do anything. Trembling. So I'm saying, I got to do it. So I got up. I went to the back of the church. The Lord was gracious. Cleared everybody away. And I went up to him and I said, "You know, the Holy Spirit was grieved when you made fun of the Baptist, our brother." And the man was immediately so offended. He was so offended at me. He didn't like what I said, but I had said it. And he didn't say much, but he was offended. He turned and he walked off. But I felt wonderful. I'd done what God asked me to do, right? Sometimes it's not received, but you got to be obedient. You got to do it. Sunday morning, we went to that same church. That associate pastor come in. He comes straight over to me and said, "I want to thank you. God's been on me all week about what I did, and you were right to exhort me. I'm asking for forgiveness for that. I won't do that again." So sometimes we get little assignments, and they're tough, and they're hard. Sometimes they're easy. Like assignment to get up here and talk to you, that's me, that's easy. I love it. Because you're a great group, but because I've got some great things to tell you what God has shown me. I've got tons of stories of obedience, and so does Marie. But we'll save those for later. The third thing, faith, obedience, and perseverance. You know, if we're going to have the faith, and we're going to obey, then we got to have the perseverance to walk it out, right? That last story was a bit of perseverance, wasn't it? And to persevere to the end to get back to that pastor. But I remember there was a time I was in McMinnville, Oregon. Carl knows that place well. I was part of a 9-month Bible school called the Great Commission Bible School. And some of us that had been in the faith a little longer, they asked us if we would also be staff as well as students. So I was a student staff. My job was to do maintenance around this building. It was a house, beautiful McMinnville, two-story white house. And had about 15 students and couple of instructors. So I was taking care of maintenance. If you know Oregon, that western part of Oregon, it rains. And that house leaked. I spent a lot of time on the roof in the rain fixing. And one day I was doing that and I was grumbling. I came here to be a student. I didn't come here to be staff. Why aren't I in there in a dry room with my dry Bible studying why I'm up here fixing leaks, Lord. I grumbled all day. Next morning, in some of our required reading, I ran across this verse in Jeremiah 12:5. If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, in which you trust that they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? God was telling me, if you're in a Bible study place, in a Bible school, going through the Word of God, you are troubled and you can't handle this, what are you going to do when life gets tough? I felt a little ashamed, but I got the message. And to try to complain less. So we got to persevere through those things that don't feel good. If it's raining on you and you'd rather be in the dry, persevere. Say, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to do this job that maybe nobody else can do or will do. Faith, obedience, and perseverance. If you do those three things, your light's going to shine, I guarantee it. And our light needs to shine. When John asked me to speak, as always, I'm not sure I'm supposed to. I'm always asking the Lord, isn't there supposed to be somebody else? Don't get me wrong, I enjoy this, but I don't want to be the one up here if it's supposed to be somebody else. Maybe Chris is supposed to be up here. Maybe Brent. Maybe somebody else. Maybe Casey. I don't know, but I need to know that from God that I'm supposed to be able. So I was praying about this. And I didn't have any topic. I didn't know what I was going to pray. I went and just got on my knees before the Lord and said, Lord, do I even belong up there? And it was quiet for a moment. All of a sudden, the verse came to my mind. That one right there. Let your light so shine before men. So God was telling me, get up there and let your light shine. And he was telling me what I was supposed to talk about all in the same time. Let your light so shine. I've got a few examples here because, you know, I know before I ever got anything with the Lord, I thought, how am I going to do anything? I mean, Lorraine and I are nobodies. We're just people who have accepted the challenge God has given us. We're not deeply educated in the Word of God. We're not deeply educated in the church, how to run church, how to do that, how to build church, start a church. We don't know much about that. We just know we love our Jesus and we're ready to serve. So I'm going to give you some examples of things we've done where we've been. And not to brag about what we've done, it's just to show you that wherever you are, there's something you can do, and God will whisper something to you. And you just got to have the courage to start it. Just start it. When we were in Israel, it was hard to figure out what we can do in Israel. It's a weird place, Israel. Especially Jerusalem. So what did we do? We just kept our eyes and ears open. There was four opportunities every week for us to go to church. It was Friday morning, which one was that? Anyway, we went to Christ Church, which was Anglican, in the old city of Jerusalem. We went to King of Kings, which was a Assembly of God church, wonderful church. And there was a Baptist house, and then there was Messianic congregation. We went to all four of them. One on Friday morning, one on Saturday morning, one on Sunday morning, one on Sunday night. And you think, well, why'd you go to church? Well, that's what we did. That's what the Christians did in Jerusalem. We would go to Baptist house Sunday morning, and then we'd go to Messianic congregation on Sunday night. That would be a different group. That's mostly Jewish people, and we loved that. But all the others, Christ Church and King of Kings, same people we saw in the Baptist house. We see the same group of people in all three churches. Christians in Jerusalem went to church every time there was an opportunity. They didn't care what denomination was. So our job there was just to encourage, and we knew it. So we went to each one of these, we encouraged believers the best way we could. That's how we let our light shine. We were in Nevada, in Boulder City, little storefront church, maybe you've heard me talk about. In that place, we weren't sure what to do, so we just prayed. We lived in a condo, a nice condo, and there was about 80 condos in that, in those units we lived in. We made up a little packet with one of Maureen's books and a letter from us who we were, what we stood for. We invited them to a Bible study, gave them our part, our condo number, and we took it to all 80 of these door to door. We were letting our light shine, hoping someone would come to a Bible study, which we were calling Proverbs Project. And we had fun with that. But we were attempting to let our light shine. And not one of those residents ever came to our Bible study, by the way. But many of them stopped us on the sidewalk outside and said, "Are you the one who let that?" We say, "Yeah." They said, "Well, could you pray for this or that?" So our light was shining, and some people were taking advantage of it. In Cyprus, we went to Cyprus at the direction of the Lord. We were there 15 months. We weren't sure why we were there. We just went because he said go. So we're waiting to know. Well, somebody from Israel wanted to come over and spend 4 days with us because they needed to get out of Israel and then go back after 4 days to get their tourist visa renewed. That's how Christians stay in Israel. They go in for 3 months, they have to go out for 4 days, and then they can come back in and get a new visa. So that's how most of us stay there. Well, it turns out word got out, and we put the word out. If you need a place to go for 4 days, come. We had 50 guests in 15 months. So our light was shining by making a way, a place. They would come, there was no charge. We would feed them, we would rent a car, and then give them the car for the time they were there. Most of the time, we didn't have the money to rent a car. So we got to rent a car, and we'd need 10 Cypriot pounds to get the car, and then we'd pay the balance after. God somehow would give us the 10 Cypriot pounds, and then we'd go pick them up an hour and a half away at the airport of Larnaca, and give them the car. God always made a way to pay for it. We never asked them for nothing. We just served them, gave them a place to come. That was our light shining in Cyprus. We were in Florida. We were in the Assembly of God Church there. We couldn't really see. It seemed like everything was pretty well covered. The Lord spoke to us one day and said, "Start a church magazine." So we did. We both loved the light. I loved photography. And we talked to the pastor about it and said, "Go for it." So they bought the paper, paid for the printing. We put it together. We had a blast doing that. We would encourage people to give us testimonies and stories, and did. So that's the way we were letting our light shine in Florida. Not to mention that we would often go out, they had street ministry, and they would go out, set up in a little city park, and they would play some music, worship songs, and we would give testimonies. And a lot of nights there was nobody there, but maybe somebody peeking out of an apartment window, listening, "What are they doing now?" So maybe that person got saved. I don't know. But we were letting our light shine. Arizona, we had a Bible study for 4 years. We were in a group of about 100 houses, 12 miles from Payson, down in the desert. There was no gas station, no groceries, nothing, except 12 miles away. We went door to door with the same kind of bag, the same book, and some letters. We told them all we're having a Bible study. About 8 of them came. 4 people got saved out of that group in that 4 years. That's not much, but it's quite a bit when one gets saved, right? Our light was shining. God told us to develop a website while we were there. We did that. We developed 70 topical Bible studies in those 4 years. I had them all organized in a file. That's just who I am. That's the way I do it. Turns out it's so easy to convert those to PDF and get them online. We had people in over 1,000 cities around this world. Some of them in Muslim nations, in Tehran, Iran. They were downloading our Bible study. Our light was shining around the world at that moment just because God said, "Put your stuff on a website." I was 70 years old. I went up to community college and signed up for a web class. And by the time I got done with that 3-month class, I had a website. So our light was shining. We were in Texas about a year before we came here. We had struggled finding a church there. We finally found a cowboy church. We loved it. We absolutely loved it. That pastor was on fire. He preached hellfire and damnation every day. He wanted people saved because hell was real, and he was telling people about it. He loved it. Dawson, he's the same pastor that took the Ten Commandments, killed a bunch of guys, and they rode horses. You know, the big buckle, the hat, chaps, the cowboy stuff. I'm not, but some of you probably are. And they rode all the way to Oklahoma City from Wichita, Texas, and took those Ten Commandments up there after the courts had told them to take them out of their, whatever it was, their Capitol building. They took them some more Ten Commandments. And then he's the same pastor that led a group of men from Wichita Falls to Washington, D.C. while we're here. They rode horses all that distance. And they preached on the mall there at the, by the way. They were letting their light shine. It was a great little church. We started a small group just almost in our home. We were in the laundry place or seamstress shop one day, and there was a guy in there, and he was talking to the other lady, and we were waiting our turn. He's talking about, I think I might have told this story about them last year. He needed rain for his pond, so we just went over and said, hey, can we pray for him? We went over and prayed for him, this stranger. Next day it rained and filled up his pond. He wanted to have some more contact with us. He said, come on over on some night, and so we started coming, and then we met a couple of others. We met, these are all strangers, not from the church. And they came and we just began. We had what we call the Holy Spirit Wednesday. We had no plan. We just get together and say, Lord, here we are. What do you want us to talk about? What do you want us to look at in your word? And so that's what we did in Texas while we were there. So that's our light was shining. Everywhere we go, we want our light to shine. So from Texas, the Lord directed us up here. So Tenasca has been really interesting. And this church has been a wonderful part of it. Shortly after we got here, we met Shelly, who's off buying a nice horse in Utah today. And we got really close with Shelly very quickly. She was going through divorce, and we came alongside of her, and we got close to her. And we found out her love for End Times. And so we said, hey, why don't you come over to the house on, you know, one night a week, and we'll talk End Times stuff. So she says, okay, and she was thrilled. So we started doing that, and people started finding out, and then people started coming. And pretty soon we had a small group of people who were coming to our house talking about End Times stuff. Our light was shining there. And our light shines here in other ways. We have people coming through our house that just need a prayer, and they need a hug, they need somebody to share with them the things of God. And of course we get opportunities like this. And I want to tell you, by the way, too, you see me up here, you don't see Maureen up here? She's the one that used to do this all the time. She's done this in Canada, in the U.S., in South Africa. She was sought after for speaking about the things she had been through in Israel. I hope one day I can give you more of who she is. She's amazing. So that's kind of our history of what we've done since we've been here. I want to talk for just a minute about what kind of light you're going to so shine, right? We're all shining some kind of light. A lot of people from many churches, you know, 100 times bigger than this, those people are shining their light. People sitting in the tavern are shining their light, but what kind of light are they shining? We have to be really careful about the light we shine. We need to pray about what we do. Make sure we have Father's approval. Father God's approval is necessary when we go to set up something. Go set up a Bible study, make sure you got Father's approval. If you're going to go do anything, make sure you got God's approval, because there's a danger of going off on our own, doing things that God not only didn't give you his approval of, but he may not approve of at all. And the other thing is, he might have something else he'd rather have you doing, so we've got to be careful about that. Make sure your heart wants the Father's will. Examine yourselves. There's a scripture, second. Now I put CO, is that Colossians or what? I don't know. One of those two. 2 Corinthians 13:5 maybe. Says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. And then there's a portion of scripture in Matthew 7:21-23. It should make every one of us tremble when we're here. It goes like this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's out of the New King James Version. We gotta let our light so shine, but we gotta let the right light so shine. It's important. I hope everybody here today will go out of here today and examine themselves, examine the light that's being shared, that's been shown to the world. Examine yourself, find out if there's any light. Is there any light coming out of me, Lord? Let's work on that. Okay, Terry.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Amen.
Let's thank Bill for bringing the message today. Saved by grace through faith, not of our own works, but it's a gift of God. And obedience, we learn obedience through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. And perseverance, not to give up when times are tough, or give up when we're in good times, but to stay in the Word of God and do His will. And let's close in prayer, and then I'll give a benediction. Father, we thank you for Bill. We thank you for the words, the message that he has brought to us, the faith, obedience, and perseverance that the Christian should have and needs to have during our walk with Jesus Christ in this world. We thank you for the Holy Spirit to provide all of these things to us, that we won't give up, that we'll stand by Jesus all the way. We thank you for this congregation, this family of yours. We claim to be your children, Father. If there's anybody in this congregation that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that you would talk to one of us afterwards or at your convenience. But now is the time for salvation. And I pray that you would come forward and talk to us, and we'll pray with you. These things I pray in Jesus' name. And I'll read a blessing from Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance.